Hafa day, and welcome to Harvest Echoes from Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Since our founding in 1975, pastors, evangelists, and missionaries have traveled from all over the world to Guam to speak to our people, preaching and teaching the Word of God. We're providing you access to this rich archive of sermons and lessons on Harvest Echoes. Our mission is to help people develop a heart for God. These messages, presented in conferences and special services at Harvest, seek to point you toward the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. Today, a message from evangelist Tom Farrell. It was presented in November of 2005. The title of the message, The Most Important Decision You Will Ever Make.
2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For he, that's Jesus, God, hath made him, that's Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain, for it saith, I've heard thee in a time accepted or a welcome time. In the day of salvation have I succored thee. I've tried to help you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Here's what I'm going to preach tonight, just as quick as I can get it to you. The most important decision you'll ever make in your life. Most important decision you'll ever make in your life is not what you'll put on when you go to school. It is not where you go to school when you graduate. It's not who you marry or where you will live. The very most important decision you'll ever make in your entire life is the decision to trust Jesus Christ. Every other decision is secondary. Let me explain why. Did you realize if you had all the wealth the world had to offer and you were more wealthy than Bill Gates, if you die and you have not been born again, you'll be a pauper for eternity. If you have every luxury that this world has to offer, but you do not get born again, you're a pauper in hell for an eternity. If you get all the education so that your IQ blows the charts, but you don't get born again, then you'll be a fool in hell for as long as God lives. If you're popular today, you'll be a nobody later. If you live for pleasure now, you live in pain for as long as there is a God. The Bible says in Mark chapter 8 and verse 36, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You see the outside of me tonight. You do not see my soul. I look and I see a bunch of you upstairs and down. All I see is the outside shell. But there's coming a day that your soul is going to depart your body. And that soul is going to live somewhere forever. We want to talk about that decision, the decision to trust Jesus Christ, what it's about, and why we need to do it. You'll always find when God talks about getting saved, delivered, when He talks about being rescued, He always puts it in the present tense. He said in Ecclesiastes 12:1, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. He said in Isaiah 1:18, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. You'll read constantly in the Bible, do the most important decision and do it now. Why? Number one, because of the certainty of death. Did you know the word death, dead, or dying is used over 1,200 times in the Bible? Genesis 2:17, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest of it, thou shalt surely die. Hey, I don't care if you're 100 or 10. Doesn't make any difference if you're 17 or 70. You are going to die. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3:1, to everything there's a season, a time for every purpose unto heaven. Time to be born and a time to die. Ecclesiastes 8:8 said, no man hath power of the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death. You got to understand, you may be able to bench press 500 pounds, but death doesn't care how tough you are. He'll take you in the first round. Ecclesiastes 9:5, all the living know they shall die. Romans 5:12, for as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so then death passed upon all men. You realize every time your heart thumps and rests, it says to your mind to die. To die, to die. You may not realize this, but this could very possibly be the last time in your entire life you can make the most important choice in your life. Now, ladies and gentlemen, mark this down. When you die, it is too late to make that choice. There is no such thing as purgatory. There's a heaven and a hell. The choice that you make is made before you ever die. One of the reasons you're here tonight is so that you could make the wisest choice you've ever made in your life. We're not asking people to join this church. We don't want your money. You take it home. We're not baptizing anybody. But in your seat, where you are in just a moment, you can make a choice millions of people never made. So they made the wrong choice. They're burning in hell tonight, and God doesn't want you with them. He wants you in heaven. Number one, the certainty of death. And death settles everything. But number two, the closeness of the coming of Jesus. In the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, if you'd like to turn, there is a description of what's going to happen when Jesus Christ comes back to take every born-again believer to His presence. And let me explain what He said. The Bible says, the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, voice of the archangel, trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Watch me very carefully. I'll explain what that passage says. One day without warning, Jesus Christ is going to come in the clouds. If you have been born again, then Jesus is going to take you immediately from this place tonight, that happened during this time, into His presence. It is called the rapture, or the snatching away of every person who's been born again. But now here's an interesting thing. If you have not been born again, but Jesus comes and you are left behind, I'm going to show you in a moment, you cannot be saved or born again. Do you realize tonight may be the only night in your life you'll ever have a chance to make the best decision you've ever made in your life? Now, Jesus told us this. He was asked in Matthew 24 and verse 3, what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the world? The world, as you know, it's not going to continue. It is coming to a conclusion. The day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. The elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth and all that in there is shall be burned up. Teenagers, mom and dad, did you realize God's going to incinerate this earth? Everything that you have seen with your eyes, God is going to burn, because this is His earth, not yours. Now, God was asked, when is this going to happen? He said, there will be many come in my name saying, I'm Messiah, I'm Christ, I'm God. Since His ascension, over 1,000 have proclaimed themselves to be Jesus Christ, the Messiah. It's going on in your lifetime. Then He said, there'll be wars and rumors of wars. Last year, there were over 100 wars. We're still at war in Iraq. We're at war in Afghanistan. All of the signals are lining up. Then He said, there will be famines. Half the world goes to bed hungry every night. Thousands never wake up the next morning. There is more famine in your lifetime right now than in all of human history. Then He said, there'll be pestilence. The word is plagues. Everybody in this building has heard of AIDS, SARS. You have heard of the avian or the bird flu. Did you realize they announced in the United States, if that bird flu mutates from person to person, get this carefully, if it were to mutate, it could take out 100 million Americans in a very short order. What is God saying? I'm telling you, I'm coming. I'm trying to give you some signs. I'm trying to explain this is going to happen. Then He said there'll be earthquakes in different places. In Kashmir, in that tragic earthquake, over 80,000 people died. Now, I don't want to grandstand, but I want to say to everybody in this building, I'm 53 years of age. Most of you young people will never live to be as old as I am. You say, preacher, what do you mean? I am thoroughly convinced that Jesus Christ is coming at any time. And I doubt you will ever live to see your 50s. Because the Bible tells us when you see all these things come to pass, you get ready because Jesus is coming. Let me explain to you what would happen if He came tonight. Were He to come while we're in this building, everybody who is born again, say the word please, born again, would immediately be snatched into His presence, and everybody who's not born again would be left behind. Now, I go down to this row. I don't know any of these guys. I don't know who's born again, who's not. But I'll tell you this. When Jesus comes, every one of these young men who's not born again will be left sitting here. Now, here's the interesting thing. If you are left behind, having heard what you're hearing tonight, in the balcony, mom and dad, senior saint, teenager. If you have heard what you're going to hear tonight and you are not born again, when Jesus comes, you will not and cannot get born again. You say, preacher, why do you believe that I cannot be saved after the rapture, having heard the gospel? In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the Bible says, with all deceivableness, verse 10, of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. What didn't they do? They didn't believe. They didn't receive what they were given from the Bible. Now the Bible goes on and says, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should, or they're forced to believe the lie. I'm going to read it slowly, that they all might be damned. Boy, that's a terrible word. See, I don't want you to be damned. If you think I'm preaching fast and working hard, I am. I do not want one person in this building to be left behind. I don't want one person in this building to be damned. I don't want one person in this building or in the overflow area to be damned and cursed and go to a devil's hell. But here's what it says. Because they would not receive the love of the truth, everyone that had that opportunity and did not receive the love of the truth will be damned, doomed, cursed, and never saved. Now, what did they not do? They did not receive the love of the truth. It doesn't say they didn't understand it. They did not receive the love of the truth. Can I pause just a moment to tell you something? Don't miss this. God loves you. Yeah, you heard that. God loves you. The Bible says, for God so loved the world. Now put your name there. I don't know what your name is, but you put it there. That He, God, gave His only begotten Son. That if anybody in this room, any individual person in this room would believe in Him, it doesn't just mean, hey, there's a God, but by faith would take Him into their lives, they would never perish, never die, and go to hell. So when Jesus was dying on the cross, He was thinking about you. When He was dry, that blood was coming out of His body, every little droplet was for you. He was saying, I love you. But now wait a minute. He said, these people did not receive the love of the truth. Now what's the truth? Boy, get this. Let me say to every one of you in this building how well you're listening. I'd say 99.9% of you are listening. Now, get this very, very plainly. What is the truth? Jesus said in John 8:32, you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. Truth number one, we are all sinners. The word sin means to miss the mark. Here's what God said, watch my hands. He said, I'm perfect. There's not one sin in my life, but you're not. And on your best day and on your best behavior, you will never be perfect. And unless you're perfect like me, you can't go to my perfect heaven. Revelation 21:27, there's nothing that enters heaven that will defile it, which means you can't get into heaven with one single solitary sin. Did you hear it in the balcony? If you die in your sin, you're not going to go into heaven because no sin is going into heaven. Truth number one, we are born sinners. Truth two, if you die in sin, you must spend an eternity in a place called hell. What is hell like? I have been in Hawaii to some of the active volcanoes. I want you to imagine that somebody takes you by helicopter over a live volcano. Do you realize when Mount St. Helens exploded, it exploded with a multi-megaton bomb pressure. When the molten lava came down the side at 100 miles an hour, it was 2,000 degrees after it came out of the earth. It is estimated by some scientists that down in the heart of the earth, it is 14 to 15,000 degrees. Now imagine that you were just swinging over that volcano. They cut that rope that's holding you. You fall headlong, but you notice the moment you get there, though you are burning, though you are screaming, though you are gasping for breath, you didn't die. And you stay there for year in and year out for 100, 1,000, 1 billion years. And you hurt just as bad 10 billion years later as you did when you went in. That's one of the closest pictures that I can give you of this place called hell. Now, let me tell you this. God didn't want you to go to hell. Did you hear that, mom and dad? You got that teenager? God didn't want you to go to hell. If you go to hell, it's because you don't get born again. Now, Jesus didn't say you have to be Baptist, Catholic, Methodist, Presbyterian. He said you've got to be born again. And so you find that truth one is you're a sinner. Truth two is if you die in your sin, no sin goes to heaven, so you have to go to hell. Truth three, Jesus Christ did for you and me what we couldn't do for ourselves. We read it in 2 Corinthians 5:21. He, Jesus, that never sinned, became sin for me and for you. Here's what happened. Jesus is on the cross. Jesus is God. Your pornography, your profanity, your blasphemy, your bitterness, your jealousy, your hatred, your lying, everything that you've ever done is pressed on Jesus. Jesus said, I'll take every bit of sin that you've ever done, and I'm going to pay for your sin, and that's why out of my body is going to come blood. Because the only thing strong enough to take away our sin is the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, when he died, he was put into a tomb, but he didn't stay there. He came out 3 days and three nights later, and he's alive. You see, only a living Savior can give you eternal life. Nobody that's dead can save themselves, much less anybody else. You say, well, preacher, so far, so good. I know that. Yes, you know that. The question is, have you received that? See, it doesn't say these people didn't know the truth. It said they didn't receive the truth. Now, how do you receive the truth? Well, number one, if this is understandable in your mind, I'm a sinner, he's the Savior, I'm heading for hell, but he wants me in heaven. He's provided the gift and paid for it. How do I get the gift? Jesus said in Mark 1:14, repent. What does it mean? Change your mind. It means you come and say, I'm not going to trust Mary, the sacraments of the Pope. I'm not going to trust the Baptist evangelists, the Methodists, the Presbyterians. I'm not going to trust the Pentecostals, my good works, communion, or anything else. I'm not trusting any of that. I am going to change my mind, and I'm going to trust Jesus Christ alone. Jesus said, except you repent, you'll perish. Now, you may be sitting here religious tonight, but I'm going to guarantee you, Jesus said it twice. If you don't repent, you're going to die and go to a devil's hell. So he said, repent and believe the gospel. Now, what does that mean? The word believe doesn't mean, It means I personally believe that when Jesus died, he died for me. He was buried to put away my sin. He was raised to justify me. I believe it with all of my being, and I apply it by asking this Christ to enter my life. You see, the Bible never says you swallow Jesus. The Bible never says you intellectually agree with Jesus. The Bible does not say you pray your way into heaven. The Bible says you must accept him by faith and you ask him to enter your life and save you. Now, in just a moment, we're going to close the service. The whole thing's going to be history and you're going to go home. Here's a great truth. Without joining anything in the privacy of your seat, you can call from your heart on the God of the Bible, Jesus Christ. And when you ask him to enter your life, he's going to hear you. He's going to save you. He's going to put your name in his book, and you're going to be a child of God. You say, well, preacher, I'll take my chances. Okay, let me tell you what will happen. Let's suppose suddenly Jesus came. And man, you are dead serious. And you say, oh God, I believe in you. I'm not trusting my religion. I'm trusting you. Come into my heart and save me. Let's suppose that happened. And you got saved. Now you got to figure out how to get home. Do you know what's going to happen in the next 7 years? You have any idea what God said? It's called the tribulation hour. Revelation 16 says this. All the water in the ocean, you're here in the South Pacific, will turn like the blood of a dead man, and every living soul in the sea will die. That means there will be no fishing worldwide. Number two, all fresh water will turn not like blood, but to blood. And people will be so desirous of something to drink, they will drink blood. Many of you go to a public school. I want you to imagine going in, pushing a water fountain, warm blood comes out. I want you to imagine, dear lady, going in, turning on your fine faucet, blood fills up your bathtub. You say, preacher, I don't believe that. Then you'll have to call God a liar. Because he said people will literally drink blood during that day. Number three, he said the sun is going to scorch men alive. The sun is 93 million miles away. It is 10,000 degrees Fahrenheit. You know how hot it gets here on the island. Do you realize if you take this globe and you move it 1/2 degree towards the sun, this place will fry. If you move it 1/2 degree away from the sun, this place will freeze. Right now, as you sit here, all scientists are saying the ozone layer is dissipating. There's going to be more skin cancer. No, there's not. God said, I'm going to burn people alive, and they will not receive me. They will curse me. They will blaspheme me. What does it mean? It means you sit here tonight and say, well, all this is real nice for him. He's just about done. I'm going home. Big deal. When you walk out that door, you may have just damned your soul. And the next time you hear anything like this, rather than saying, yes, God, yes, you will curse him. You will absolutely blaspheme him. The Bible says there's coming an earthquake. Now, some of you know what a typhoon is like. I've never been through a typhoon, but I understand many of you have. And so you have some kind of relatively understanding of a typhoon. Now, I want you to imagine what the Bible says. It says the coming earthquake is going to be so strong, every island will sink. Did you get that in the balcony? He said, every mountain will be flattened. There's coming a day when all the major mountain ranges, God is going to flatten. He said he was going to do that. So here's what you're saying. Even if you could be saved after the rapture, when you hear the gospel, you are going to have to hang around for the most catastrophic, cataclysmic event in all of human history. Let me say to you, only a fool takes his soul and dangles it out there and says, I'll take my chances. Number one, the certainty of death. Number two, the closeness of the coming of Jesus. And three, and finally, the chance of becoming reprobate. Now, I want to read to you in Romans chapter 1 something that takes place when a man or woman like you are tonight hears the word of God but does not receive the God of the word. Now, there's a lot of people and they believe this. They say, I can get born again or saved anytime I want. Now, whoever told you that lied to you. If anybody ever told you that, they lied to you. In Romans chapter 1, here's what God says. I begin my reading down in verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has shown it unto them. Now, watch me in the face. Tonight, you know there's a God if you didn't have a Bible two ways. One, your conscience. See, you can sit and look at me. You'd be a wise businessman. You make the most money on the island. You can say, I'm not buying anything you're selling. But when you go home, you have to live with you. I go home and go to sleep, and your conscience says what he's telling you is right. Many of you right now, your conscience is saying, that man's telling you the truth. You better buy into this. You better hear it. Number two, creation. If there's creation, there must be a creator. If there's a watch on my arm, it didn't happen because a couple of my hairs crossed, hit one of my warts on my arm and suddenly became a watch. There must be a watchmaker. Now understand this. Because of creation and because of conscience, you know that what I'm telling you tonight is true. So God reveals himself. Now what does man do? Well, down in verse 21, the Bible says this, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Let me show you what it's like. They said in a service like this, they got up towards the end of the service and said, let's go, man. Let's get out of here. And so they walk out and they say, no thanks, God. I'm not interested. Now, the word reprobate means rejected after the second trial. Watch my hands. God says, come. Man says, no. God says, come. Man says, no. God says, come. Man says, no. And then God says, last call. That could be tonight. You walk out that door, God says, enough. No more. I'm not speaking. You're finished. You say, preacher, is that what that says? That's exactly what that says. God is patient. He's long-suffering. He loves you. He doesn't want anybody to be left behind. He doesn't want anybody to go to hell. But I'll tell you this, you can push him and you can embarrass him and you can treat him ill, and one day he'll simply say, I'm not bombing you anymore. Tonight, many of you are sitting here and you're listening so well upstairs and down, and here's what you're saying on the inside. I need to do this. I need to make this choice. I need to get born again. I need to know I'm going to heaven. Now, Satan whispers, hey, you got plenty of time. What are you all upset about tonight? Just take your time. Your heart says, I need God now. Satan whispers, you got plenty of time. Now, you cast the vote. You walk out and say, I'll vote with the devil. You'll go the exact same place the devil's going, and you'll burn in the same hell that he's going to be there. God's voting for you. But you cast the deciding vote. You say yes to God by faith and receive what he's done for you. He says yes to you, takes away your sin, puts your name in the eternal book called the Book of Life, and you're a brand new person. You've made the wisest choice in life. You say no to God, and God may say no to you. Years ago, I was preaching in Ohio. I turned to the pastor and I said, hey, pastor, is there anybody here in the building tonight that you don't believe is going to heaven? He said, go to the very back row next to this door. I said, I got him spotted. He said, he's a big dude. I said, you're telling me. He said, he's a cop. I said, okay. He said, I'm shocked he's here. He's one of the meanest men in town. Well, when I got through preaching, I went to that door. And when the door opened, I stuck my hand out and I said, I'm glad. And he slapped my hand and walked by me. His wife had been born again. She was terribly embarrassed. She walked by me and I said, is that your husband? She said, yes, I'm sorry. I said, don't be. That's the way sinners act. I said, now, I want to give you this little leaflet and I want you to take it to him in the car and tell him Jesus loves him and I want to see him get saved. She said, preacher, you don't understand. He'll beat me up in the parking lot. I said, no, ma'am, he won't. I said, you blame me and you take that track. She went out to the parking lot, gave her husband that tract. There was 100 people that saw this happen. I'm standing at the door shaking hands. He pushes his way through these people, walks up to me, takes that tract that could tell him how to go to heaven, crumples it up, slams it in my chest, and cursed me, and turned around and walked out. I said to the pastor, "What's his name?" He told me. I said, "Let's go visit him tomorrow night." He said, "You are crazy." I said, "No, let's go visit him tomorrow night." I said, "I want to go meet that guy face to face. I want to have a chance to talk to him." The next night, after the service, it's about 9:15, we go to this guy's house. You will never go to hell by yourself. I'm going to say it again. You will never go to hell by yourself. See, some of you are going to take a little brother, little sister with you. Some of you are going to take a friend with you to hell. You'll never go to hell by yourself. When I got to the door and rang the doorbell, the man's son, about 21, answered the doorbell. His dad was not there. His mom was not there. He invited us in. I started talking to him about getting born again, talking to him about getting saved. He was exactly like his daddy. He made fun of the Bible. He blasphemed God. I thought, my soul, this guy is heading for a damnation. He's exactly like his daddy. Well, all of a sudden, the door opened. In walked his dad. I stood up. I never sat down again. He got in my face and started cursing me. I used to run with a gang, and I fought my way up through high school. And I don't mess around real easy. But I heard things out of his mouth I'd never heard in my life, and he's a big dude. So I started walking towards the front door. He's behind me just cussing. Finally, I had my belly full of it, and I turned around. I got in his face. I said, "Hey, buddy, let me ask you a question. Was there ever a time in your life you wanted to be saved?" Now he's like a little boy. He said, I can't answer that. I said, "I got a distinct feeling there was. And I got a distinct feeling you're becoming a reprobate." I said, "I'm going to pray for you." I dropped down right in front of him. I said, "Dear God, don't let this man burn in hell. Though he's cussed you and blasphemed you, don't let him burn in hell." And then I got up and I said, "Now, mister, I'm leaving your house." I walked out to the car, got in the front seat. The pastor got in the driver's side. He turned to me. He said, "Why in the world did you do that to that man?" I said, "I got a distinct feeling he's never going to get saved." He said, "Brother Farrell, 10 years ago, I brought an evangelist into that house." He said, "We opened the Bible with that man, showed him how to be saved. His face told us he wanted to be saved. He said he acted like he was going to get born again. And he said, suddenly, he shouted, 'I won't do it!' And he said, he's just as mean today as he was 10 years ago." I said, "Pastor, I think when he shouted, 'I won't do it,' God probably said back, 'You'll never do it. You've damned your soul.'"
You've been listening to Harvest Echoes and a message titled, "The Most Important Decision You Will Ever Make," from Evangelist Tom Farrell. It was originally presented in November of 2005 at Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Harvest Echoes provides you access to a rich archive of sermons and lessons presented at conferences and special meetings at Harvest Baptist Church. Send us a comment or question by visiting our website, hbcguam.net, hbcguam.net. And thank you for listening to Harvest Echoes.